Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much for just your grace that abounds, Lord. Thank you for the privilege and the opportunity we have to gather together and to worship you, Lord, to sing of your goodness, God, your faithfulness, your kindness towards us, Lord. As we open your word, God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts directly, Lord. I pray that it would be personalized and individualized for each of us, God. I ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just wash over us now, Lord. Help our focus to be only on you, God. And thank you, Lord, for your precious word, Lord, your instruction book that you have given us. God, we treasure it. And we treasure you, Jesus. In your name, amen. Hi, everyone. I'm so glad to be back with you all. I miss you. 5 weeks is too long. It is too long. I have a question for you. Who read a book in the 5 weeks? Raise your hand if you read a book or 5 pages. Okay. A few of you. Good. Yay. I'm so proud. Outside of the Bible. Yes? Okay. Awesome. A Jesus book. Yes? Okay. Okay. Who found a prayer partner? A few of you. Awesome. Okay. If you didn't find a prayer partner, then find one tonight. Just ask somebody, do you want to pray one time a week for 15 minutes, one time a week? So find one tonight. I recommend having a prayer partner or multiple prayer partners because it is most fruitful and so fun to fellowship with one another through prayer, which is the best way to get to know somebody. So tonight, we are going to do the overview of the parables because we are studying journeying with Jesus through the parables, and I am just thrilled for this study. So open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to look at that. And then we're going to look at Mark chapter 7 and chapter 8. So if you want to place, put a little place card in all three of those, that's great. As you open there, in the last few months, I have had 4 people that I know that have passed away, which is a lot. And, you know, when people pass away, when you experience death, it causes you to really think a lot about eternity, doesn't it? It does me, and it forces you, if you're a Christian, to be bold for Jesus, right? Because we don't want anyone we know or love or just even anyone in the whole world to go to not go to heaven, right? So as we begin to study the parables, these next few weeks, the Lord has really shown me that the parables are really all about salvation. That's really what they are. They're all about salvation. These messages that Jesus gave, the essence of them all, are about salvation. So the question we have is, will we listen and will we see? Will we be hearers and listeners? So look with me in Matthew 13, starting in verse 10. And it says, the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of the people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. So the parables begin with a blessing for those who will hear and see what Jesus is saying. So who here wants to be blessed? I hope you're all raising your hands. I want to be blessed by Jesus. So the scribes and the Pharisees had been following Jesus around throughout his earthly ministry. And of course, they were. We see them there prior to this, so we can assume that they're here. And, you know, the Pharisees and the scribes, they had physical eyes and physical ears, but they had hardened hearts. So they heard and they saw, but they did not perceive what Jesus was saying because they were unwilling to yield to the Holy Spirit. Helen Keller was born in 1880, and she had normal eyesight and normal seeing when she was born. But at 19 months, she became very ill, and it caused her to permanently and fully be blind and deaf. She was quoted as saying, "Death is no more than passing from one room into another. But there's a difference for me, you know, because in that other room I shall see." She also said, "Science may have found a cure for most evils, but it has found no remedy for the worst of them all. And that is the apathy of human beings." And that is true. Most of us here today have physical ears and physical eyes, right? Unlike Helen Keller. But Jesus is pointing out through this explanation in the parables that many will remain in spiritual blindness and spiritual deafness. So as we get started, I have two questions to provoke you as we study. The first question is, why is teaching in parables the heart of Jesus, which is the title of the message, the heart of Jesus? And the second question is, how is evangelism in the parables the heart of Jesus? The outline tonight is 5 points. The first point is the heart of Jesus desires belief, and then it's the heart of Jesus desires us to bring. Thirdly, the heart of Jesus desires us to bend. Fourth, the heart of Jesus desires our bravery. And the fifth point is the heart of Jesus desires to bestow. So the first point, the heart of Jesus desires belief. So Matthew 13, 10 through 11 again says, "And the disciples came and said to him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' He answered and said to them, 'Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given.'" So a parable in the Greek is parabolo, and that means to throw or lay beside. It means to compare. So these are truths that connect the subject of the kingdom of God. They're given for real life comparison. And they are earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. So remember that as we dig into the parables. So who are they given to? It tells us in Matthew 13, 16, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." So that's who it's given to. They are given to those who are willing to hear and to see. So parables are really evangelistic in the heart. And the word evangelistic in the Easton's Bible Dictionary means a publisher of glad tidings. An evangelist is the preacher of good news. In the parables, Jesus is not keeping salvation a secret from some, because who is Jesus? He is the good news, right? His very presence evokes a response. It evokes emotion. But Jesus is the ultimate gentleman. He will not force people to hear him, and he will not force people to see him. He had the power to control every person listening. He could have made every single person get saved. That's who Jesus is, the most powerful. But that would not be free will, right? We cannot have a real relationship with Jesus if he forced us to. He offers it to somebody who will hear, and someone who will see, and someone who will receive. I have a blind dog. Her name's Penny. And I think she would like to see, because she used to see. And she's just a little bit pathetic. She's 100 pounds, and she's a super big baby. If you accidentally step on her paw, she lets out this giant cry like you cut off her paw. She's constantly at my feet. I jokingly say that I am her seeing eye dog because that's how I feel. And the thing about Penny is she can't see a thing. Like, you can be like right in front of her eyes. She cannot see a thing. But Penny is aware of a few things at all times. Penny is aware of where I am all the time. She is aware with if it's within 2 hours of mealtime. She's definitely aware. She didn't get 100 pounds for nothing. She's aware of if I'm ever getting ice or any snack. She's aware. And she's aware of when she deems it's time to go for a walk. So though she has no eyesight, she is constantly aware of her needs, right? And Jesus is searching for those who are aware of their need for him, like Penny. The very reason he came to save the world, right? That's the very reason Jesus came, is to save the world, right? He wants to save every single person. Of course, we know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Jesus taught the parables as he sat in a boat. And we see that in Matthew 13 too. And this boat would provide the ability for a great multitude to gather on the seashore and listen to him teach. Also, it would provide amazing acoustics so that everyone that was gathered would be able to hear, so the person who had listening ears could hear. And to truly hear, though, there's application that's involved, right? You can leave here tonight having heard worship or having heard this Bible study or even having heard what your sister is telling you. But if you don't apply those things, then you really didn't hear, right? Because hearing, it provokes a response. It's necessary to have a response, right? Have you ever spoken to somebody and it's just like the lights on but nobody's home, right? Usually your children, sorry, girls, where they're like shaking their head, but they're definitely not making their bed right after, right? Yes, but so will there be a response? Barclay said, the parable conceals truth from those who are either too lazy to think or too blinded by prejudice to see. It puts the responsibility fairly and squarely on the individual. It reveals truth to him who desires truth. It conceals truth from him who does not wish to see the truth. 2 Peter 3:9 says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Therefore, the parables must be looked at from the view of evangelism. Those who have an open heart and are spiritually sensitive will listen, right? Those who have dimmed senses will not listen, but their hearts will become more hard. To really see and hear is to respond to the Holy Spirit. The parable confronts people with the truth. John 14:17 says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you. David Guzik said, the same sun that softens the wax hardens the clay. And so the very same gospel message that humbles the honest heart and leads to repentance may also harden the heart of the dishonest listener and confirm that one in their path of disobedience. So Jesus desires belief. The second point is the heart of Jesus desires us to bring. We have this amazing opportunity to bring people to God. We have this opportunity. In fact, it's not just an opportunity, it is the very reason we're here, right? Our very reason for being on this earth is to show people who Jesus is, right? Because this earth is just a blink, but heaven is eternity. Jesus' final admonition to the disciples in Matthew 28:20 was what? Go, therefore, and make disciples. That is our commandment as well. Let's look at two of Jesus' healings as we put this together. One in Mark 7:31 was a man who was deaf and mute. So he had ears, but he had ears, but he could not hear. And then one was a blind man. In Mark 8:22, he had eyes, but he could not see. So both were brought to Jesus by others. So the deaf and the mute, in Mark 7:31, it says, again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then he brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And then in Mark 8:22, the blind, it said, then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him, and he begged him to touch him. Both of these men had friends, right? That's a good thing. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times. We know in this case, in the case of the deaf man, he did not hear the stories of Jesus healing, right? He couldn't have heard those himself because he couldn't hear. But we know that somebody must have told him. We know the blind man didn't see the miracles that Jesus performed because he couldn't see, right? I wonder if these same friends that brought these men to Jesus also told them about all those miracles. Do you think on their walk, maybe they said, we know, we've heard of this man. We've seen some of his miracles. We're going to take you to him. I ask you with that, who brought you to Jesus? And who have you brought to Jesus? We have to ask ourselves that. We were at the car wash the other day, my husband and I, and we have United States Marine Corps license plates. Because my husband served in the Marine Corps. And so I was inside kind of wiping the car, and my husband was wiping the outside. And a young man came up to him, and he's talking about joining the Marine Corps. And so my husband starts filling him in and telling him some things. And he's, you know, kind of telling him about boot camp. And I could see that the conversation was wrapping up. I was listening and wiping the car, and I'm rifling, looking for a Gospel of John. And I ran out there and I said, the Marine Corps is great, but don't go to boot camp without Jesus. And I handed him like the Gospel of John, you know? Because you see, physical healings are great, but Jesus was really there for soul healings. Are we there for soul healings? Are we bringing people to Jesus for their soul to be healed? My friend Nicole, where is she? She has like Jesus radar. Nicole is innately aware of where Jesus has brought her from. And I think that is something that we can all learn from, is realizing that we really are like the scum of the earth. Not that Nicole is, but she knows that she was. And it makes her have this like actual passion for souls, which we all should have. And I have been with her when she just touches the lady that's serving her coffee and says, like, I'm going to pray for you. Or, you know, just where you could be at a store or at the park, and she always finds a way to include Jesus in the conversation. And it's because she's grateful for what Jesus brought her from. And it makes her have this Jesus radar. It's like, I need to, like, touch souls today. Do you know what a big deal that is to just go to somebody that you see pain in them and just touch their arm and just say, can I pray for you? Or, like, I'm going to get in my car and pray for you if it's not, you can't do it right then. It matters. It matters. You know how many people in one day don't experience touch? So many people. And we, empowered by the Holy Spirit, have the ability to go and to touch somebody, either with our words or physically if it's allowed. That's amazing, just to touch somebody and say, like, I want to help you with your soul today. The most important thing that we can do. This is to have the mind of Christ. This is to think spiritually. In Mark 2, there was a paralytic man. It says in Mark 2, 1, and again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men, and when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." The paralyzed man had not one friend, but he had four friends. Four friends that cared enough to find a way to get him to Jesus. Do you desire to bring? Because Jesus desires us to bring. The third point is the heart of Jesus desires us to bend. So the deaf man, picking up in Mark 7:33, it says, "And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, 'Ephphatha, that is, be opened.' Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly." And then the blind man in Mark 8:23. "So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and he said, 'I see men like trees walking.' Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everything clearly." In both of these healings, Jesus took them out of their normal surroundings. And this required them to bend to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Right? They could have withdrawn out of fear, out of disbelief. I imagine the scene to be a bit scary, right? But yet hopeful. Here they were. Scary, but hopeful. To bend takes faith. To bend says, "I'm allowing you, Jesus, to be my master." And that's the power of the Holy Spirit that works in us to open our hearts to Jesus. When we bend to Jesus, we see that he makes healing personalized and individualized, doesn't he? For the deaf man, he took his fingers and put them in his ear, in the ears of the man, and then he spat and touched his tongue. And maybe this seems kind of weird or gross to you and shocking, but here's a few things to consider. Jesus couldn't tell him because he couldn't hear. So Jesus touched him, right? A man who could not hear would be very in tune to touch. Jesus touched him intimately. In order to have spiritual deafness healed, we must be touched by the Savior. Spit was considered to have medicinal value, which of course Jesus, knowing all things, gave insight into the fact that he is not tied to just one way of doing things. Therefore, we shouldn't be either, right? When we are talking to somebody, when we are preaching the gospel to somebody, we shouldn't have like, "Hold on, let me pull out my notes, and it says for me to do this, and then this, and this, then this," right? We want to have it be personalized and individualized to that person. Jesus is showing us this example here. Maybe God will use touch to heal someone. Maybe you could lay hands on somebody. Maybe God will use prayer, right? Maybe even prayer from afar. Maybe God will use science and allow medicine to do his work. Or maybe God will use the body's immune system. We don't know, but what we know is that the designer is not tied to only one method. He personalizes it and individualizes it for each person. Jesus looked up to heaven and he sighed, healing the deaf man. In doing this, Jesus gave a heavenly focus because heaven is where healing comes from, right? The sigh was compassion-filled as Jesus has mercy on those who can't hear those who hear him eventually, right? How often do we sigh in prayer for those who need Jesus? How often do you just pause and sigh, look up to heaven and just pray? Are you walking around and seeing people and saying, like, gosh, that person looks so sad, so broken. Pray for them. Proverbs 2, 1 through 6 says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So Jesus commanded, be opened. And in this, he invited the deaf man to participate in the miracle, right? To hear, to have faith with the one who healed him. You see, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make the horse drink water, right? We have to participate in the miracle. Faith is participating in salvation, right? That's what faith is. We must hear it to believe it. For the blind man, he spit on his eyes and touched him. Again, maybe seemingly odd. If we saw Pastor John on a Sunday morning running around and spitting on people's eyes, we might be like, okay, I might be at the wrong church, right? But Jesus's ways, again, they're unique and they're personal. Because again, Jesus could not show him because he was blind. So he made it personal and unique, right? And touched him. This man's eyes could have been sealed shut. Some commentators said that maybe the spit from Jesus was like a salve to his eyes to help him to open. We don't know. But nonetheless, this man was touched by Jesus. The first touch, the blind man saw, but his eyes were blurry. Men looked like walking trees. And maybe this indicates possibly that the man at one time had his eyesight and lost his eyesight, right? Because how would he know what a walking tree looked like? When we first come to salvation, our faith is undeveloped, right? But as we grow in our relationship, we see things more spiritually and our vision becomes more clear. So Jesus, what did he do? He touched him again. All the while, this blind man had to continue to bend in faith at the working of Jesus. He had to walk by faith and not sight. Psalm 121, verses 1 through 2 says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Jehovah Rapha, our God who heals, right? Receiving Jesus' touch essentially means to be born again. It's to have spiritual understanding or perception. The touch of Jesus doesn't always give us full enlightenment, and sometimes we're still a little blurry, right? We are, because we're still growing, and we need to be touched again over and over and over by Jesus. And when we need that Jesus touch, it gives opportunity to ask and to seek and to knock, like Matthew 7:7 tells us. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. So Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes again, and he made him look up. We must be dependent upon God. We must see through the eyes of God. When our vision is blurry, we must ask him to touch us again. And we see clearly when we look up, don't we? So Jesus desires us to bend. The fourth point, the heart of Jesus desires our bravery. Mark 7:36 says, then he commanded them that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. And then for the blind man in Mark 8:26, it says, then he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into town nor tell anyone in the town. So they didn't get to stay with Jesus physically after they were healed, but instead, Jesus sent them away. And you know, that must have taken bravery not to just continue to follow him when he sent them away. And I think of like Mary Magdalene when she saw the resurrected Jesus and she fell on the ground and clung to Jesus's feet. I'm sure that's what they wanted to see, right? Wanted to do. They wanted to cling to his feet. But both men received healing and both men were sent away. And it reminded me of the woman at the well in John 4, right? When she was sent away, what did she become? The town's evangelist, right? She was so excited to go and tell everyone. She couldn't wait. And I'm sure they were. I have newfound ears and eyes, right? Because I was touched by Jesus. That's what the hearing man and the blind man said, right? Jesus desires our bravery. Are you brave enough to show others what Jesus has done for you? Are you brave enough to lead others to Jesus? When you have seeing eyes and hearing eyes, that ought to lead us to having an evangelistic heart. Because God is the healer, right? So the fifth point is the heart of Jesus desires to bestow. And bestow means to give or deposit or to gift. And it's like giving somebody a trophy, or spiritually speaking, it would be like a crown, right? Because in 1 Corinthians 9:24, it says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Because Jesus is the ultimate bestower of good gifts, and he bestows on those who do have hearing ears and do have seeing eyes the crown of eternal life. Many years ago in 2003, my brother passed away, and he had lived 26 years of 36 of his years paralyzed and on a breathing respirator. He was 10 and I was 6 when he was in a very bad car accident. But for many years, I had this reoccurring, it was almost like a prayer dream. And so for years, I would pray and dream that I was going to wake up and I was going to see my brother walk through his bedroom doors. And for so many years, I had that over and over and over again. And the year and the day that he went to be with the Lord, I remember sitting in the car and I was just quietly crying. My family was in the car and just talking to the Lord, so happy that he was with Jesus, but so sad for myself and others. And I heard the Lord just like never before just say to my heart, do you remember your dream? I was a very little girl when I had that dream and that prayer. But I instantly knew what Jesus was saying to me. And I instantly remembered that prayer. And Jesus said, today I answered your prayer. But I answered it so much better than you could have ever prayed it. Because today, Jimmy didn't walk through the doors of his bedroom. He walked through the doors of heaven. You see, Jesus is the ultimate healer. So for those of you with ears that aren't so good, eyes that aren't so good, legs that don't work, lungs that don't fill with air, whatever affliction you may have, if you will go before Jesus with receiving hands, he is the ultimate healer. Not everyone is going to be healed physically on this earth, but we will be made whole in heaven if we will just give that to him. So again, the heart of the parables is evangelism. The blind and the deaf are walking among us all the time. And are we going to tell them? Are we going to share with them? Will you take them to Jesus? Romans 10:14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings and good things. So the heart of Jesus is to share Jesus, to share the healer. And when we do, we can think on 1 Corinthians 2:9, which we don't want to keep just selfishly for ourselves, right? We want to share it with everyone because it tells us that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So let us boldly touch the blind. Let us boldly touch the deaf with the love of Jesus. And then we can tell them about Psalm 34:8, which says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." So again, go tell, because the heart of the parables is evangelistic. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for your grace and your goodness over us, Lord. We love you. God, I pray as we journey into this study, God, that you would help us to be faithful, that we would grow and that we would learn from you, God. I pray that you would bless our fellowship. I pray that you would bless our group time next week, God, and that you would just do a work in each of our hearts that would be holy and desiring, Lord, to go out and preach the gospel of you, Jesus Christ, the great and ultimate healer, the only one who can heal for all of eternity. God, give us boldness. Give us a desire, God, and forgive us for those times that we are just lazy and apathetic towards people's souls. In Jesus' name, amen.
There we go. Hey. Well, that was wonderful. Thank you, Kim. I loved it. Let's see here. What did I put down? I put, let's be bold for Jesus, for the parables are about salvation, and the parables are a blessing to those who hear, see, and understand. So we want to believe because Jesus is searching for those who want to be saved. We are to bring, as it is an opportunity to draw people to Jesus. We want to bend to the heart of Jesus in faith and stay flexible in how we might see someone saved. We want to be brave, for this pleases the Lord. And God does want to bestow healing and love felt goodness on people, because no good thing will be withheld from those who walk uprightly. And I will say that it is indeed very rare for someone to not want prayer. And it might be the easiest way to open up conversation about the gospel. And I'm going to add, I'm excited about the parables. Studies have shown that when you listen, you retain maybe 10% in general. But when there's a word picture, like a parable, you're more likely to retain it up to 50%. So if you write it down and repeat it back while you're driving home, it goes to like 90%. But anyway. So here's what I'm here to tell you. If you are not in a group currently, you need to meet with either Kim or Tamar. And do y'all know who they are? Kim was the one that just taught, and Tamar's over here in the light brown sweater. And so you meet with one of them if you need to have a group. And we have a few more minutes, so go and eat some more food and have some lovely conversation or pray with someone.